From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. Let there be light for those on the live stream. Oh, it's really bright. Like, really, really, really bright. Getting sorted out here in a second. I don't know. Weird. Glare is completely different than it is most days. Anyway, good to see all of you on the live stream this morning. We'll get into the podcast here. We'll talk football. We'll talk basketball. Terrence Davis had a big night in the NBA as well last night. So we'll get into all that and more. Podcasts brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. You know by now to take advantage of the ribs, the lunch specials, and more there with the Oxford Exxon. The daiquiris, a little chillier outside, but you can still get one if you like. They got a lot of flavors. Ships $3.99, as big as 44 ounces if you so wish. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're interested in. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get a quote and you can shop it around, or you can do what I recommend and what a lot of other podcast listeners have done, and that's get into a Clark Ford today. You'll love the product. You'll love the service after the sale. All of those things. 662-257-1900.
So, Ole Miss beats New Mexico State 41-3. LSU up next for the Rebels. Obviously, the Tigers coming off a pretty good Saturday, beating Alabama 46-41. So, Joe Burrow coming back to Mississippi for the second time, and more. We'll talk about that a little bit. And again, Matthew Morrell. Also, Ole Miss beats Arkansas State in basketball on Friday night. It was a rout pretty much throughout. We talked a little bit about it on Hand Raise Guys. We'll do that again here also this morning. Neil, I guess let's start there because we're gonna get a lot of football. It's gonna be a football week with LSU. Basketball has Western Michigan. They have Seattle next Tuesday. No, sorry, Norfolk State tomorrow night, and then Western Michigan, and then Seattle before heading over to Memphis. But just kind of main thoughts. What'd you see on Friday night? What'd you like? What'd you not like?
It's first game. Saw a lot of typical first game stuff. Some guys were jittery. Started a little slow. I think this team's going to look different when Blake Henson returns. I think this team's going to look different when they get a little more comfortable. There's still some chemistry issues, which are to be expected in November. But they're a talented team. They're an athletic team. They are really going to be a defensive-oriented team, which is, I think, good. I think that's what Kermit's really comfortable with as well. Really maintain what I've said all along, which is I think Devontae Shuler is going to have a breakout year. I know everyone talks about Brian, and Brian's going to have a really good season as well, but I think this team's going to be Devontae Shuler's team by the end of the season, if it's not already.
What he did on – and again, I know he had a big game, but what he did on Friday – not really sustainable per se, but is that what it needs to look like, at least in rhythm and flow and kind of how he took over that game in some ways?
I think it is sustainable. I mean, I think he can get 20 a night if he wants 20 a night. I don't think that's a requirement. I don't think that's really – but his control of the offense, his protection of the basketball, his ability to defend, to set the tone defensively, I think all of those things are very sustainable as long as he's healthy. So that part of it, I think that's kind of who they are. And, I think that's really sustainable. What's has to be encouraging is that the odds are overwhelming that Brian Tyree is going to score more than 6 points most nights. So you're going to get points from him that you didn't get the other night because he just had a cold night from the floor. We're probably forced a couple of shots early and it got in his head. He's got to get himself into a better flow, and he will. He's fine. KJ Buffin had another really good night. I think that's very sustainable. Rodriguez took some stupid shots. They'll coach that out of him.
He won't play.
They will. Because he had a much better second half than he did the first. So they were already getting some of that out of him. I mean, it's not that they don't want him to shoot. It's just don't take shots that aren't in rhythm. Don't force threes. But some of those guys, it was their first significant play. It was his first college start. I'm sure there was – the heart rate was elevated a little bit, as you might expect. And so, you know, you can throw some of that out after the first game. And even though Kermit yelled and screamed at him all night, as soon as the game was over when he came in, one of the first things he said was it was a first game and, you know, that parents were there that aren't always there. There was a lot going on for young people, and it's to be expected that they had some nerves and that kind of thing.
Kermit told us on Thursday night he planned to play 10 or 11 guys through a rotation on a Friday. By the way, thanks to everybody who came out to Southern Craft Stove and Tap on Thursday. Good crowd, good times with Keith and Kermit on Thursday, so appreciate that. But rotation is what is interesting to me. It's going to work itself out. It always does. It'll get trimmed a little bit. Just one game. We got several to figure this out. Where does this thing sit, though? How many would do you think he ends up playing, and who's sort of on that bubble at this point of being in some danger of minutes?
I mean, I think if they were playing Memphis today, you'd see, and I think Henson will be available by then, so I think it's
somebody's got to lose minutes for him to get minutes,
yeah,
obviously.
It's Devontae and Brian, Blake, KJ, Hadeem
Sammy
C,
and Hadeem.
Sammy, Hunter. I think Luis would obviously play. And then I think the competition at that point is
Crowley,
Bryce Williams, and no, I don't think Curry plays much. I think it's,
no, Crowley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Crowley's going to play a lot.
Yeah.
And then it's Bryce Williams and Franco Miller competing for some backup point guard minutes. But I think Crowley's going to play. I think an eight-man rotation is really realistic, 8 to 9. And then after that, minutes are going to be sparse.
Yeah, I know there's something up with the lighting. I'm not really sure what's going on. I'm aware. We move it around a little because it's in the way of the TV. It's better. I don't know. It's like flip it towards you. Yeah, that's better a little bit at least. I don't know. It's weird. We haven't had this deal at any point before, but we do today. So learn something new every day. It's almost like something's reflecting. I don't know what it'd be. You know what I mean? It's almost like the light's hitting something and then throwing it back at me.
I have no idea what it would be.
Yeah, I don't either. Nothing's different. But anyway, if you're on the podcast, I'm very, very bright this morning in the live stream. I have no idea. But anyway. All right. So they did that, beat Arkansas State. Again, you got more tune-ups coming before this Memphis thing. Wiseman may or may not play. I asked Neil on Saturday night when we're doing hand raise guys what he thought. You said you did not think Wiseman would play against Ole Miss by that point.
Yeah, I don't.
Here's my question with that is what causes that? What changes to make that the case? Because obviously Memphis isn't just going to give him away off the court.
Well, no, but the NCAA is going to take this to a federal court, and I mean, they're going to get it away from a – Memphis-friendly court. Memphis is one of the strangest places in the world, I've decided. I mean, it's they're gonna get it out of there, and they're going to enforce their rules. I mean, Penny Hardaway, by any definition, is a booster.
I guess my point is you can't make him not play.
Well, no. I mean, well, I don't know about that. Yeah. I don't know how the legality works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if Memphis is dumb enough to play a player consistently that the NCAA is telling them is ineligible without at least negotiating with the NCAA, well then, I mean, good on them, I guess. I mean, that's really stupid. I know everybody's doing this freedom fighting thing. Trust me when I tell you that nobody at Memphis who has a brain cell operating wants the NCAA to be able to really dig into what's going on inside that program. And this isn't about play. There's two debates going on in the media out there that's driving me a little bonkers.
Okay.
One is, yeah, I'm with you on, should a James Wiseman today be able to cash in on his name and likeness? Absolutely. Frankly, James Wiseman should never have to go to college. James Wiseman should be making millions of dollars in the NBA right now. But the rule says that he can't, and so that's the rule for now. I'm absolutely with you. He ought to be able to cash in on name and likeness. No doubt about it. He's a guy that could be one of the first two or three picks of the NBA draft. He's easily one of the, by the end of this season, should be one of the most recognizable players in college basketball.
Sure, yeah.
But that's not what this is about. This is about 2 years ago, when everyone knew that he was going to be a superstar, Penny Hardaway, who was an AAU coach and a high school coach, who was working behind the scheming, behind the scenes, to get Tubby Smith fired and get the Memphis gig, moved his family from Nashville to Memphis to the tune of $11,500. That is a violation. That is a major violation. He did it as a Memphis booster to move him to Memphis, and the kid signed with Memphis. That is a major NCAA violation. It is frankly no different in terms of scope as to what Walter Hughes did for Herbert Moore and Bobby Billingsley.
Yeah.
Except it wasn't $11,500 from Walter.
It was a hoodie.
It was a hoodie. And
a trip to Birmingham.
And they got to crash in a hotel room.
Yeah.
So, and that was deemed, Hughes was deemed a booster, and that was deemed a level one. This is, by any stretch, at the minimum, a major level one violation.
I'm playing a ton of devil's advocate just because it's a podcast and it's kind of required for the next hour of conversation. Them admitting they didn't really make him eligible, but they sent the wrong letter and they're going to abide by it in May, and they haven't produced other information to be inconsistent with that to this point, I do get the reason of frustration. Because they said, you're eligible. And they've presented nothing to argue. They cleared it from the standpoint of what we're talking about. They said, hey, we screwed up, but since we screwed up and you got the letter, okay, it's all good. Go ahead. You know what I mean? I do get how you go, well, okay, hold on a second. You did that in May, and yeah, you screwed up, but you admitted it, and you told us okay. We forgot about it, and then now a week the season starts is when you want to decide to do this?
But this has been being rumbled about. But that's beyond the point, though.
They cleared him.
But they told him before the first game, hey, we have a problem. That obviously something else has been unearthed.
I think it's up to the NCAA at that point, though, to say some of that. To say that. Because otherwise you look like you're just coming back to it because you're frankly pissed off and at the world. Not really defending Memphis here, but they did clear him. So if something else came out, shouldn't you have to present what that something else is? That seems logical to me.
Yeah, and I think they probably will. I mean, I don't want to be the guy that defends the NCAA. I don't like the NCAA. But I do know what's going on, or I've heard enough rumors to know about what's going on inside that program.
To be
pretty suspicious that the NCAA has the goods.
Yeah, totally different conversation. Of course.
You know, so my guess is that there's more to this Wiseman thing. And the NCAA, because this is the way they operate. Give them credit. They are consistent. They don't put out a press release that says, here's what we have discovered. But they told Memphis, I think this dialogue's been on. I don't believe the Memphis side of the story in its entirety. Because it's frankly not how they operate. My suspicion, based on the fact that there have been rumblings about whether Wiseman had an ankle injury, agents from Australia. There's a lot going on with Wiseman and has been for months now. They got told before game one, hey, he's not eligible. He's not eligible. Memphis played him anyway. Then it got made more public before the UIC game. And they go to court and all that stuff. And they say, hey, we're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to fight. And everybody in the public goes, yeah, get him. This is not about name and likeness. This is about a gift that his family got because of his basketball ability a year and a half ago. People go, well, Penny said that he helps all sorts of kids. Okay. So did Walter Hughes.
It's amazing you talk about this. It's so similar because Walter had some baseball tickets, made him an Ole Miss booster. Now, again, scope's different. Penny gave $1 million for some Penny Hall of, I don't know, something or other.
Which makes him some sort of a permanent super booster type thing.
Well, I mean, you're pretty much a booster in perpetuity. Yeah, 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 for that type of thing. So it's all so stupid. But Here's the deal that I find kind of funny in this that we're not really discussing, or the media is not discussing, Memphis media is not discussing. He gives us money in 2007. Everybody knew he gave this money. Not exactly a secret. His name's on whatever this thing is that he basically purchased with this. Shouldn't this be 100% cleared before you ever make him the coach?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah. I get a booster can become coach. That's not the point. It's the booster giving money that then makes it a problem. But at the same time, you would think there'd be a little more due diligence put into, hey, what exactly is his status with you guys given that?
They've gotten so hung up on this deal there. You know, I did some fill-in radio for a while, and it was remarkable to me, even in football season, even when other things were going on, it was Memphis basketball, Memphis basketball, Memphis basketball, Memphis basketball, just stay on it. Which was hard as someone who doesn't cover Memphis basketball. But they've created this narrative up there that this is going to be this dynasty. And he goes out and he recruits some Memphis kids. Penny's got a world of problems right now. He's got unhappy Memphis kids who were told, hey, you come here, you're going to play. And they're not playing because he went out and got Precious Achiuwa and he got... I can't even think of all their names.
Became a national deal instead of a Memphis deal.
Yeah, got national dudes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he went out and got national guys, and now that made enemies. I mean, listen, the NCAA is hearing a lot of the same things about Memphis that they started hearing about Ole Miss football, except on a much bigger scale. He's going out and nailing, I mean, getting the big-time players. He's running a program over there that there's a lot of elements inside that program that I'm guessing the NCAA is not particularly pleased with, a little concerned with. And those people all have, say in what's going on inside that program. And I can't believe that Penny Hardaway and the people at Memphis don't want to tone the rhetoric down and see if they can't calm these waters. That whole we're going to take this to court and fight like mad.
Court.
Be careful with court, boys and girls.
That starts getting into subpoenas and records and documents and things that you probably do not want to open up. Just a hunch. It's why when everybody goes, hey, so-and-so school is going to sue the NCAA. Well, all right, but here's the two problems with that. Number one, I get this is dumb and you might win in court eventually because it's the only game in town. You're a volunteer member. You don't have to be a member of the NCAA.
Uh-uh.
You don't have to play sports. And I get that's dumb. I get it. Two, yeah, you're opening up a lot of paperwork. You better be squeaky clean if you want to sue the NCAA.
And they're not.
Well, no, of course
and
not.
And so when you – at all. Because here's the question. If Penny gave money to James Wiseman, who else did he give money to? Give money to DJ Jeffries? Did he give money to Alex Lomax? I'm not saying he did. I'm just asking. The NCAA could say, you know what? While we're at this, since you're suing us, we're going to sue you back. We'd like all of your bank records. We'd like your phone records. We'd like your credit card records. Stuff that we normally can't get in a court of law, we can get. So let's do this. And while we're at it, you're under the microscope, and you might want to be careful with your recruiting here in the next couple of years because this is going to be a long, drawn-out deal. That worth fighting? Here's the thing. Everybody does this deal with about Ole Miss, and the NCAA picked on Ole Miss, and the NCAA picked on Ole Miss, and they did, and it conveniently ignores the part of the conversation where Ole Miss was really sloppy. The NCAA was able to track...
Brought the efforts into the building, which is 101.
Memphis is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
This is a dumb fight. You want to fight the NCAA? By all means, fight the NCAA, but you better have the truth on your side. And don't make this about... This drives me insane with the national media about name and likeness. Nobody's arguing that, really. Even the NCAA begrudgingly is admitting that, yeah, we probably need to fix this. But this isn't about that. This is about what he got 2 years ago as a recruit. And Penny Hardaway wasn't out helping random families move from Nashville to Memphis to the tune of $12,000. He wasn't.
That's the boldest part of this strategy is, hey, no, we admit it. Money's there. We gave it to him. We just give it to a lot of other kids, too. It's a community effort.
I mean, come on.
Just trying to help out. That's all this is. Really, I mean, Penny's the victim in this. He's just trying to help a bunch of kids and you guys. Look what you're doing.
The NCAA picks and chooses. They do, but the NCAA... I know nobody likes this part of it with Ole Miss, and I get it. I understand it. But the NCAA, it was so easy with Ole Miss. They tracked it right back into the building, and Laramie Tunsil's stepdad talked to them on the record and gave them facts and gave them bank records, and they had Ole Miss dead to rights. Reality. Would they have done that if – it's my opinion, and I know most of you all disagree – if they could have hammered Alabama over the last few years, they'd hammer Alabama.
No, it's the irony of this is they saw Ole Miss as a big fish.
There's no question.
An SEC West school,
no
they
doubt.
Miami, Alabama, Penn State, USC. They've gone after big fish. They want the big fish. That gets the big shrimp cocktail. That gets the big pelt in the NCAA offices in Indianapolis. That gets the pats on the back. Hitting Dayton basketball is not getting you what you want.
Matt Browning nails it on the chat.
Okay.
Said you'd never be able to connect Saban to having Tua's family move to Tuscaloosa.
Like 7,000 layers. You'd be unwinding this encrypted thing forever. Yeah.
I don't think the FBI could do it. Which means that the NCAA, which has no subpoena power, would never be able to do it.
Yeah.
It's the part of this that Hugh Freeze ran. Hugh Freeze was a very good offensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Freeze did a really good job installing an offense and recruiting players and that kind of thing. He also ran a very sloppy program. The two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. Penny Hardaway's running a really sloppy program. He's let way too many people have influence in his program, and those people talk. And there are a lot of upset kids and upset families who have been lied to on the recruiting trail. It's why you got to be really careful when you recruit at a high level. You got to make sure that you also are honest with kids. Hey, we're going to keep recruiting. We want you here. We think you can play here, but we're going to keep recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not cool with that, this might not be the place for you. It's not what he said to DJ Jeffries. It's not what he said to Alex Lomax. It's not what he said to those kids who could be playing at Wichita State or Ole Miss or wherever right now. He got greedy. He told a lot of lies, and those lies are coming back to haunt him now because I'm telling you, people are talking.
Get your popcorn. It's nowhere near over. It's just beginning, so we'll continue to follow it. We'll move on with the rest of the podcast in a second. First, about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting processing is done in Memphis, so you can look them underwriting. Understand your market, a leader in condo financing, the float-down option. And with rates as low as they've been in about 2 years, good time to talk to Jason. It's 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We're also brought to you by Splinter Creek. It's a gated conservation community located 8 miles southwest of Oxford, 75 minutes from the Memphis airport. The website, splintercreekms.com, 601-898-2772. If you're coming up this weekend for basketball, for football, for both, get in touch with Tom Smith Land and Home Agents. Get a tour of Splinter Creek MS if you're thinking about moving to Oxford. You're thinking about retiring to Oxford. It's definitely a property you should check out. 34 lakefront lots ranging in size from 2 to 25 acres, 650 acres of lakes, pine and hardwood forest, 6 miles of private roads. It's well-maintained running, cycling, and hiking trails, a preserve for turkey and deer, flyway for birds, home to bald eagles. The lakes are the main streets of Splinter Creek. Each one has a combination of docks, floating piers, a pavilion with a fire pit, outdoor kitchen for use by homeowners, their families, guests. It's just a beautiful property. You should check it out. Again, splintercreekms.com, and that number is 601-898-2772. Dead Soxy has expanded its collegiate line. Get in the action and check out all of their newly listed color patterns. Regardless of their allegiance, those disowned relatives need Christmas gifts too. So go to deadsoxy.com, deadsoxy.com. Check out the new collegiate line. And as always, enjoy the Rebel Grove savings of 30% off with promo code Rebel Grove. Dead Soxy, stay soxy. This week, the Blue Delta team will be in New York City Monday through Wednesday, Naples, Florida on Thursday, Tampa on Friday, and Orlando on Saturday. Locally, Blue Delta will be set up in the Graduate Oxford lobby on Friday night, and the studio will be open from 10 to 6 on Saturday. So with the 6 p.m. kick, there will be plenty of time to come get fitted for your Blue Delta jeans this weekend. Don't forget that now's the time to get your friends and family's Christmas shopping done. DM Blue Delta on Instagram or Twitter, or email them info@bluedeltajeans.com to ask about a Blue Delta Jeans gift card for the upcoming holidays.
Podcast is brought to you by G&M Pharmacy there on South Lamar in Oxford. Go get your flu shot if you have not done that. Flu vaccines available, $0 copay on most insurance plans. You don't have to wait in line for an overworked pharmacist to chain drugstore. Instead, a locally owned pharmacist will get you in and out as quickly and painlessly as possible. That's Tyson Drugs on the Square in Holly Springs, or G&M off South Lamar in Oxford, 662-236-2222. Did we have a pretty good day in pick, like week from picks or not? I know you had a good Saturday. I think I got killed yesterday, but the Saints no showing was not a favor for anyone yesterday. But
as of Saturday, I was 9-2.
Wow.
You, Jeffrey, and Zach were all 6-5. I think we all missed the Falcons Saints game.
Yep.
I think you got the Packers game correct.
Okay.
I got the winner right, but I didn't have the spread.
Okay.
And then there's a game tonight.
Okay. You had a hot Saturday.
Yeah, I did well on spread on Saturday. I missed App State, South Carolina, and I missed Penn State, Minnesota, which I'm mad at myself about because I intentionally put Penn State, Minnesota in.
To get a game.
So that I could pick Minnesota, and then I got scared of some of the metrics and went with Penn State instead of kind of following my gut.
Oh, really?
My gut told me that Minnesota was going to play its ass off and get barely beat.
Instead, they
played their ass off and won.
Yeah. Lines for the week. We'll get into these throughout, kind of talk about the games as we go through these a little bit. Alabama, Mississippi State is this weekend. The Bulldogs get a very irritated group of tied men in Starkville this week. It's going down a point. Opened at 21. Now Alabama's favored by 20. And I was looking for an over-under. I do not see one at the moment. But anyway, 20 or 21 for Alabama State right now.
I'd like to know whether Tua plays. He didn't look healthy walking off the field the other night.
Looked very limpy the other night.
I suspect they're pissed. Suspect they're pleased to see that the computers did not punish them very much.
They don't have a good win.
They don't have any good wins.
So if it's about wins, they're in trouble.
So they need some style points. It's a danger spot for Mississippi State. I suspect Alabama's going to come in there wanting to play a good football game. It's an early game.
I mean, State's not going to win either way, so it's kind of like, whatever.
But I'm talking about you can get embarrassed. You know, Alabama's going to come in looking to embarrass.
It's going to take State bowl eligibility to beat Ole Miss, it looks like. They'll beat Abilene Christian next week, and then they will play Ole Miss.
Yep.
I don't know what their APR is. Getting a lot of APR questions. I have no idea. So
I'm surprised that's such a big thing. I get that question, too, and I'm like,
People are just curious about bowl games.
It goes beyond the APR. You have to have every 6-6 team has to get in first. Conference affiliation won't matter.
Yeah.
They'll fill the bowls. I haven't looked at that. I mean, I guess that's something we could easily do.
I mean, there have been a few 5-7s every time they've done it. State's done it before. They went to St. Petersburg one year as a 5-7, played somebody.
That was the year that they destroyed Ole Miss in what turned out to be Hugh Freeze's final game. It's always the funny part of the Freeze dynamic. I'm not getting into Freeze today, but his last two games were blowout losses to bad teams, where a win would have made Ole Miss bowl eligible.
Vandy and then State?
Yeah.
Because they beat A&M.
Went to Vandy and just got boat raced.
Yeah.
In one of the most bizarre games I've ever seen, where Vanderbilt just whipped Ole Miss. And then Ole Miss comes home to play a 4-7 Mississippi State team where an Ole Miss win puts Ole Miss in a bowl game, I assume the Liberty, because the Liberty Bowl guys were there that whole year just like frothing.
I mean, they've been doing that every year. The Liberty Bowl obviously wants Ole Miss, and it hasn't happened yet.
And Ole Miss not only lost, but lost by 5 touchdowns at home.
55-20.
5 touchdowns.
55-20.
And State goes to St. Petersburg and plays somebody in a bowl game, like FAU or FIU or somebody. Always amazing, that part of the Freeze narrative, just the people who want him back ignore that.
47-21 is what Odd Shark says the Alabama-Mississippi State score is going to be.
That feels about right. State's problem is that they can't really stretch the field vertically all that much, and that's how you beat Alabama.
And State has a horrific pass defense, which is not a good sign for Saturday.
Yeah, because even Jones can throw the football.
Enough, yeah. He can get it down the field enough. Florida-Missouri, there's no line yet in that one as of here, as I'm looking. Maybe it's somewhere, but it's not here.
I think the Kelly Bryant portion of the here's what's interesting with Missouri. The buyout on Barry Odom is only about $2 million. It's my understanding Missouri's not sure they have it.
$2 million?
It's not sure it's worth it.
Missouri's one of those places where it's really hard to fire a coach, no matter what your expectations are, that goes 7-5. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just it's a hard place to justify that.
What's their record right now?
I don't know.
0-1, 1-1, 2-1. They beat South Carolina?
Yes.
3-1, beat Troy 4-1, beat Ole Miss 5-1. Lost to Vandy 5-2.
5-4.
3-5.
They're
5-4. They're going to lose to Florida.
5-5.
They're going to lose to Tennessee.
5-6.
They're going to beat Arkansas and Little Rock to go 6-6 and be forced to extend the season. I mean, I'm sorry, get a bowl game. Where you do that awkward thing.
Still hard to fire.
What do we do? It's hard to fire him. They were supposed to be a lot better than this.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be a breakout season. How that
that Tennessee game is huge because they can win that game, and if you win that game at 7-5, he's safe.
Yeah, they can win it, but I'm going to tell you, say what you want about Tennessee. I watched some of that Kentucky thing after we finished.
They're okay.
He's stabilized them.
They're fine.
I'm not going to say that. Yeah,
they took advantage of a team that could not throw the football.
But then they moved it. They got some points when they had to have them. He has stabilized that program.
It's Tennessee and their fans. Stabilization is not going to be enough to hang him around for a while.
No, but he's calmed his hot seat. He's going to absolutely get next season.
Because he sucks so bad, essentially. You know what I mean? It was so bad early that anything looks, oh, well, okay.
But it looks like they're moving. There's progress. Tennessee's got, what, 5-6 wins?
Don't know.
They beat BYU. No, they lost to BYU. They beat Chattanooga. It's 1.
Yep.
Mississippi State's 2. South Carolina's 3. UAB's 4. Kentucky's 5. They get Missouri and Vanderbilt. They're going bowling.
Yeah, they'll beat Vanderbilt at least. Maybe Missouri, 7-5, 6-6. Maybe the Liberty Bowl.
Well, if you're the Liberty Bowl, you're thrilled to get Tennessee.
Music City Bowl, maybe.
Sure.
If you want a weird game on Saturday at 11 a.m., Tulane is at Temple. It's always hard to kind of play in Philadelphia in the empty stadium. Tulane is a -3.5 in that one. It's moved to 4 now.
Let me touch on something. People said Missouri can't go to a bowl game. Missouri absolutely can go to a bowl game because right now the appeal is still sitting out there.
Yeah.
They are frustrated. To prove to you that the NCAA hasn't changed much, Missouri thought they were getting an answer weeks ago. But with no answer, Missouri absolutely can go to a bowl game because the appeal is still sitting there.
Yeah. They did that, A, to appeal, and B, because they thought they were going to have a really big season, so they wanted that bowl game, whatever that was. But it's still the same result no matter where you're headed.
Now, they can
stop.
They can stop the appeal and say, hey, we'll accept our penalty right now.
I would do that if I'm 6-6.
I probably would, too.
Just call it a day.
Yeah, just
and be done with it. Let's move on. Yeah.
Don't have to fool with going to Shreveport.
Because, I mean, right now, if you're doing the appeal, I mean, again, it's just these guys' freshman seasons. But in recruiting, you're having to go, hey, you might be bowl ineligible next year. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
Who knows? Good question. We're trying to find out. We're fighting it. Blah, 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 blah. 2:30 CBS, the Georgia Bulldogs and the Auburn Tigers meet on the Plains. Georgia opened as a 9-point favorite in this game. It is down to 2.5.
Yeah, 9's too many points. This is a huge game. This game has ramifications all over the league. Big time. Big time. This Malzahn thing is about to explode. Now, he can make it go away by winning on Saturday. But if he loses on Saturday, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he doesn't coach the Iron Bowl.
Did you see where there was like a chaotic way for this thing to finish? And again, it probably won't, but it wasn't so out of the norm to be, well, that's impossible, where there's like 8 teams in this thing with one loss, and they got to try to figure out who the 4 are.
Oh, please. I'd love it.
Because you've got, you're like Clemson, okay, whatever. And then, but then your Big Ten winner could either be undefeated or one loss and be in. So we have like 2.
Sure.
But after that, it's like, okay, 11-1 Alabama.
Yep.
Well, 12-1 LSU, 12-1 Georgia.
Yep.
If Georgia beats LSU, a one loss Pac-12 team,
mm-hmm.
a one loss Oklahoma.
Well, you have a one loss Oregon that would be in the mix.
Yeah.
You
That's my point. Yeah. Just somebody out there. Yeah, Utah, Oregon, take your pick.
You could have a one loss Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You could have a.
It was 8 teams with one losses or none, but only like 2 none.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Just who knows?
Be fantastic. I'm totally for the chaos. The 4-team playoff it's worked for them just out of sheer luck.
In the same way, in a lot of ways, the BCS actually worked most of the time.
They got lucky and it just kind of worked out.
I mean, you had very few 2004s. For the most part, okay, 2 best teams, it's kind of clear and they're here.
Georgia's playing really well defensively lately.
They're fine.
Well, they're good on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
They're really athletic on that side of the ball.
They have a great offensive line. Fromm is very average.
Yeah.
Given the talent around him.
And Auburn's defense is healthy and it's going to be a hell of a game.
You're leaning Auburn.
No, I think Georgia probably wins. Auburn winning puts everyone in this weird spot. Like, there are Auburn fans out there going, I know that it's in my best interest for my team to lose this game.
Yeah.
But I hate them. In much the same way that I think you're going to see at the Egg Bowl, a lot of Mississippi State fans, the smart ones, deep down going, I know this doesn't work. I know we need a change.
If Ole Miss will just pop them.
If Ole Miss would just beat us here, I think we'll fire him. But God, I hate them.
Can I stomach this for the overall good of things?
Because I don't think that Joe Moorhead's getting the Rutgers job. And so if he beats Ole Miss and goes 6-6, well, they're going to a bowl game somewhere. And I don't think Mississippi State fires him because I don't know that they can afford to. And then you're stuck with him for another year. All fan bases, I've decided, are paradoxical. They're all fan bases are insane.
College football is the most emotional sport in the world.
Yeah.
Period.
I mean, Ole Miss completely reversed course. You can't make fun of State on this one because Ole Miss in 2017 literally overnight reversed course after beating Mississippi State. Completely changed the plan.
Kentucky's at Vanderbilt in a game no one will watch on Saturday at the same time as Auburn and Georgia. 2:30 start for this one. Kentucky is favored by 9 points in this one. Well, sorry, it opened at 9. It's now at 8.5 for the Kentucky Wildcats and the Vanderbilt Commodores. Whatever. If you told me Vanderbilt found a way to beat them, sure. If you told me Kentucky won by 25, sure. I don't know. Don't care. Won't watch. I'll put a pick in on Thursday and do no research.
Yeah.
Any chance Wake Forest stays sort of close with Clemson on Saturday?
Yeah. They stay sort of close. They're going to beat them.
I like Wake Forest to cover this 31.
Oh, I like that line. It's a lot of points.
That feels too high. Just a little hunch on Saturday. Texas at Iowa State's a pretty good game on Saturday if you want something to flip to. 6.5 Iowa State favored in that one in Ames.
Iowa State just about ended it.
Yeah, that would have been it. done.
He's really good.
He is good.
His name comes up a lot, and I've talked to people who know that situation. He's not leaving for a Southeastern Conference job.
He's leaving for the next Big Ten job.
He's in line for the next Big Ten job in much the same way that
the Michigan State or something like that.
Luke Fickell is in line for either Michigan State or Notre Dame. Fickell's not leaving. So you're going to see his name pop up with like Arkansas or whatever. Nope. He might have conversations with them just to gauge the market. But the job he's waiting on is Notre Dame or Michigan State.
Ohio State is playing Rutgers. If you want to watch chaos on Saturday from a point total standpoint, I would take Ohio State to cover this line. They covered the whatever against Maryland. They scored 70 last week. Ohio State in New Jersey favored by 52.
I mean, that's a lot of points, but I'd be tempted to
lay. They beat Maryland, 71-13, 71-14, something like that.
Yeah, they're mad. And they're trying to make sure that they put style points out there.
Oh, and it's not in a move. I mean, Rutgers can't stop them.
Right.
Literally.
And Fields is having a phenomenal season.
People would be talking about Fields a whole lot more than they are if Joe Burrow was not a human being. But Burrow has won the Heisman now. It's over. It's all done. No matter what.
Oh, I agree. I think Burrow has won the Heisman Trophy.
Your Big Ten game of the week, you'll be following this in the press box or whatever we're doing on Saturday afternoon. Minnesota at Iowa this weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Gophers and the Hawkeyes.
Is that game in Iowa City?
It's in Iowa City.
Ooh.
Interesting line.
That's got upset written all over
it. Iowa favored by 3.
It's got upset written all over it.
Vegas saying, yeah, go ahead and jump on the Gophers. Take your 3 points.
Well, here's the thing. Iowa's lost 3 games to 3 good teams, mm-hmm. close games. They're not a great team, but they're a good team, and they're a consistent team, and they're a good home team. Minnesota just won this incredibly emotional home game.
Going to be impossible to be as high coming into Iowa City.
No way.
In much the same way, LSU is going to fight it all week coming into Oxford this weekend.
But he's going to do row your boat.
Just stay. Yeah. Just get through it, guys. Let's go.
Just row the boat today.
Just row the boat.
Row the boat. What time is that game? 2:30?
3.
3.
3 o'clock.
It's a good game.
You like that, don't you?
I'm not sure I'll be back from – Carson's got middle school soccer in Grenada Saturday afternoon. Oh. So.
Does he know?
Got his first middle school soccer game scheduled for tonight, but I think weather's going to play a role.
Oh, is it tonight?
Yeah, they play Lafayette tonight.
Okay. LSU and Ole Miss, 6 o'clock from Vaught Hemingway Stadium. LSU coming off, obviously, that 46-41 win over Alabama. 21 is where it started, and 21 is where it stuck. It has not moved a single half point since then. 63 is your over-under in this one on Saturday. To my credit, I said 21-22. It's right there. Odd Shark says 50-22.
I like LSU. I'm willing to lay those points. No problem.
On Saturday night, you went the other way. What happened? What changed?
Well, I thought the line would be like 27.
Okay.
28. If 21, I'm laying them. No problem.
LSU's going to be flat.
You know what? I don't know how flat they'll be.
You just can't get up 12 times. I mean, it's physically impossible.
This is what he wants.
You think he does?
Yeah.
You think he cares?
Yeah.
I mean, he's gotten it every time. That was my point. I mean.
Yeah. I think every time he comes to Oxford.
You and I talked about this on Saturday. And again, look, it's got to be LSU. Kids aren't dumb, so it's kind of hard to trick them. I thought the biggest thing he did, you said this, coaching-wise, was not giving anything to Alabama. There was no aura around this. It was
he won't do
all
it.
Week. It was, hey, we've lost to him 8 times in a row, but I'm going to fight it, and you're just the better team. We're just going to go win a football game. The hell with them. That's all it was all week long. And again, like, Arkansas can't do that, whatever. I mean, Ole Miss could do that in 15 because they'd beaten them the year before. It takes a certain set of circumstances in some ways. But so many teams with Alabama beat themselves before they ever get on the freaking bus.
Yep.
By giving so much reverence to mm-hmm. Alabama all week long. And, hey, that's a great football team. We're just going to give it a shot. No, the heck with that. Just go win the football game. And that changes mindsets for a lot of kids who, instead it's, hey, this is this huge opportunity to get this massive upset. No, it's a huge opportunity to go win a football game. That's what it is. It's good. It's the right move.
Yeah, you know, what I liked that he did, and I thought it was just genius all week, and I normally don't pay attention to, like, schools when they put out the videos and stuff. Like, I know people get excited about hype videos. I never look at them. LSU put out a couple of them last week.
Did they?
Yeah. That were just basically, we're coming to win the game. Not, hey, this is, and they never dodged, hey, this is a big game. You know, Nick Saban a little bit last week, hey, it's just another game. You know, all that stuff. Ed Orgeron did not do that. No, this is big. This is huge. It's huge games for all the marbles. So when we got to win, we're going to win it. We're going to win it. We're better than them. Alabama's not used to getting all that. Nick Saban spent 2 weeks brainwashing his kids into this, you're the underdog. Ed Orgeron spent 2 weeks telling his guys, we're going to go kick their ass. And then when it was over, right there on the field with the cameras running. People who say, I'm not willing to give Ed Orgeron credit, I'm doing it in spades right now. With the cameras running, told his team, and we're not losing to him anymore. This is ours now. Now, is that dangerous? Are you hitting a cobra? Yeah, you are. He doesn't care. Give him credit. Teams take on a coach's personality. For whatever reason, I don't really understand how it happens psychologically and all that stuff. They have taken on his personality. It's not even arrogance. It's just confidence. It's fun. They just go play and give Ed a ton of credit.
And it's the perfect fit for that there. It wouldn't work everywhere.
It wouldn't work everywhere. There was somebody gave...
like, even take Ole Miss out of it. It would never work at Auburn, per se.
No shot. No shot. It would work at a place like Florida.
Yeah.
It worked at Florida. Spurrier did it.
Yeah.
He's very Spurrier-ish if you get away from the offense stuff. Get away from all that. He takes the pressure off his kids.
Yeah.
He does all the media. And mm-hmm. He'll let you kind of make him a cartoon character. But he lets his coaches coach. He's learned a lot. And they are loaded with talent.
Makes a point here on the live chat as we go into our next break. Bo Nix threw for 340. That's the problem for Ole Miss, is that Burrow, with those wide receivers, could throw all day. And it could get very, very, very dangerous from that standpoint, really get away.
Yeah.
That's the part of this that is...
And here's the other part.
Burrow's arm is not going to be flat. And
you ready for me to get to the topic that nobody wants to really talk about?
I'll let you do it in a second. First, I'll tell you about MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. They're out in northern Mississippi, but they also build custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces, paper patios, forestry mulching, and much more. Patch your dream backyard easier than you think. It's GoMasterCuts.com for a free quote. Or that same free quote at 662-607-7773. That's GoMasterCuts.com.
Picks will be up on Thursday. They are sponsored by Southern Craft Stove and Tap, located off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue. Southern Craft Stove and Tap places an emphasis on food and atmosphere, mixing the quality of fine dining with the come-as-you-are environment, featuring 30 craft beers and offering a high-quality selection of cuisine and libations. Southern Craft Stove and Tap has you covered for any occasion. Join them for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, or have your favorites catered out. Catering orders placed online currently get $25 off any order totaling $100 or more. So avoid the chaos of parking on the square. Head over and experience carefully crafted dishes with your favorite Southern ingredients. Southern Craft, Stove and Tap, Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue in Oxford. We're also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. They've got clients in more than 20 states, advisors in multiple states as well. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan that's built just for you. It's pinntrust.com, P-I-N-N-trust.com. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee. We're also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. It's home to Soul Spa. It's the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. And then head over to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro. Sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships. So gather at Estelle at the Westin Jackson tonight. And we're brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. Whether you're thinking about a golf trip, a summer trip, a cruise, a resort in Florida or the Caribbean, whatever the case may be, get in touch with John before you try to book something on your own. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. So if you think about going with the boys to Pebble Beach, taking her to Napa for the vacation of her dreams, whatever the case may be, call John, give him some parameters, give him a budget, let him give you some options, and no, you don't have to live anywhere near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email at jedwardsregencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
Go ahead. Lay it on me.
The other thing is this is going – LSU's defense is going to look at the film from Ole Miss as they get ready for John Rhys Plumlee, and they're going to see some of the throws that he made on Saturday against New Mexico State and go, that's a pick six. That's a pick six. They're going to be eager to get to Oxford. He made a couple of throws against New Mexico State that, God bless them, they're 0-9 for a reason. Those were one went right through the receiver, the defender's hands, and ended up being a catch. You throw that against Derek Stingley, it's picked.
I'm gonna say this right way, and I'll have him on. Would you make a Kubelik's comments?
Can't wait to talk to him. I like Cole a lot. I covered Cole. I know Cole. I know he knows football extremely well, especially offensive line, defensive line play. He's great. He's great. And he's doing some stuff on TV that, man, he's a rising star.
Yeah, he's good.
I don't understand. It's frankly, it's baffling to me. And it's not just Cole. And again, man, I like Cole. Cole's smart. Cole knows more football than you and I will ever know.
For people who aren't around, I'll find the tweet. Go ahead and keep talking.
Cole and a lot of other regional/national guys just rave about this offense. And those of us who cover it, with zero exception, I can't speak for Chuck Roundsville, but everybody else on the beat shares the exact same opinion, which is this won't work.
So Cole, every Sunday, Saturday night, whatever, he puts out just a paragraph on every team and what he thought for the week. Does it on Twitter. Ole Miss, colon, handle their business. Plumlee's the deal. Was tossing darts. Going to grow into an SEC quarterback that can win a bunch of games. Explosive and tough. Defense was sound. When the weapons on offense are healthy, man, they can be tough to defend. Big opportunity this week. Somebody responds and says, as much as we enjoy watching Plumlee run the ball at Ole Miss, tossing darts is not close to what I consider his passes to be like. He comes back, quote tweets that, and says, 15-yard rolling right to Jackson, dart. Slant to Mingo, dart. Seam to Cooley, dart. Rolling right back across body to Moore, dart. Out to Pellerin, dart. You don't win at darts throwing 100 miles an hour. Screens and quick throws are all in stride with good velocity. Why you guys are fighting Plumlee being a good passer?
Yeah, I'd love to talk to him more about it. I mean, he's borderline defiant about it. And he's not alone. And yet, we see it every week. And mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm fascinated. I'm not critical even. I'm just fascinated.
I'm not even saying he's wrong.
Yeah.
I just would love to know what he's seeing that I don't see. Now, I did think John Rhys Plumlee threw the ball better Saturday. I did think he made better throws.
And I made this comment on Saturday night. It's still whatever. I think he's going to get better. I've said repeatedly that I'm not really even judging him to start a fall camp next year because of him only being here since June and playing two sports. The one thing that did frustrate, that's not the right word at all, that I did find troubling for Ole Miss, and I put it out on the board yesterday and then on Saturday night, they're just not using the left side of the field at all. His passing chart to this point, if it's not a deep ball, meaning something in the air more than 20 yards, he's only thrown 8 passes to the left side of the field all season.
Well, he did.
That's a problem.
One of the darts that Kubelik refers to just then was a play where he ran to the right and threw across his body, and the New Mexico State defender just missed the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It went through his hands and ended up being a catch, I think, by Elijah Moore. I can't remember exactly. I mean, honestly, we were flipping between two games. The Ole Miss game was never in doubt.
His baseball arm is not bad. It's fine. I don't know that it's necessarily elite, but it's fine. It's not a problem.
Well, throwing a football and throwing a baseball.
Two different things.
Two completely different things. One.
Hand size factors in. A lot of stuff factors
in. Hand size isn't a big issue with baseball.
Mm-mm.
It's a smaller ball and all of that. It's round. It's just different.
I mean, I was a decent baseball player. I have very, very small hands. I can barely throw a football. I can't grip it.
You should see me out throwing a football yesterday.
I was
tossing it.
You're just bragging about hand size at this point.
No, I haven't.
What you're doing?
I think I have average hands. I don't think my hands are big per se.
Combine people wouldn't be all excited when you had to strip down and measure your hands in front of them.
Combine people would not be excited if I stripped down at all, hand size or otherwise.
I don't know. We'll talk to Cole. I'm curious. We'll work on that.
You know, I'm gonna reach out to him today. We're friendly. I know him.
South Carolina A&M, two teams that desperately need a win on Saturday. That is in College Station, and the Aggies are favored by 10 points. It's just hard to do anything with Carolina right now. Optically, it feels funny.
Yeah, they had their star receiver open in the end zone to win the game.
Just launched it over his head.
And he just threw it over his head.
I think there was a holding penalty, but still.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. So I don't think it would have counted. Where are you going on this one? In Waco this week.
Mm.
The Oklahoma Sooners.
Ooh.
Baylor still undefeated. Survived TCU on Saturday night. 3 overtimes in that one, I think.
Yeah.
10.
Baylor's
it's down to 8.5.
Baylor's getting 8.5?
Yep. Well, now, if they're given, we're cooking. Taking the Bears? This feels like a game you're going to add to picks, so what are you thinking?
I don't know. I mean, Oklahoma's better than them, but Oklahoma's not been good on the road.
And I'm still not believing in that defense.
Oh, no, it's bad.
I know a lot of Oklahoma people are going, no, it's better. No, it might be better, but it still sucks.
It might be better, right, but it's not that much better.
Oh.
A good question. Avery has a good question. If South Carolina fires Boom, and for the record, I don't think they're going to, although he's flirting with getting fired. If they fire Boom, Dan Werner would be available. See, to me, that would be a far more realistic option for Ole Miss than Will Hall.
Yeah, sure.
Because Will Hall looks at this deal with, like, Willie Fritz is on Arkansas's list.
I mean, Dan still owns a home here. He's fine coming back whenever.
Yeah. He would make a lot more sense, and he would be somebody who could come.
Frankly, Werner fits more what Matt wants to do anyway, offensively. Matt's comfortable with that kind of offense.
Yeah, they're kind of. Love to know what Matt's thoughts are about this offense, what he really thinks. The problem is they need Rich Rodriguez to get a job on his own.
Zach says in the chat, imagine McIntyre goes to Vandy and then you get Muschamp replacing him. Hey, they're buddies. Come work for Matt for a year. Get Boom as a D coordinator.
They're friends.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
That'd be fun. I don't think, as much as
Mac, he looks stressed out.
Will.
Yeah, yeah. He just doesn't look good.
As much as McIntyre is a perfect fit for Vanderbilt,
it doesn't feel like that's a direction.
As much as that's probably what they should do at Vanderbilt, I don't think that's what they're going to do. The name that I hear is, I can't think of his first name, Elliot, the assistant at Clemson. That's the name that keeps coming up. I can't think of his name.
If you have any shot of other jobs, why that one? You trying to do what Franklin did and then get out? Is that the goal? Because Vandy's not a long-term solution for anyone. They just can't recruit well enough.
No, it's very difficult. But if you, yeah, but if you can do a James Franklin-esque job,
Franklin won 9 games 2 years in a row
and turned it into Penn State.
Yeah,
Penn State.
It just seems like that'd be easier reclamation projects than playing in the SEC East with a stacked deck. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, it's a tough job.
You're starting the year with 3-4 losses off the top, no matter what.
What is?
I mean, your path to any type of respectability is having to beat Ole Miss every season when you're not as good. That's a
Tony Elliott.
That's a tough deal.
I could not remember Tony. What's so hard about the word? Know. Tony Elliott is the co-offensive coordinator and running backs coach at Clemson.
Sure.
He won the 2017 Frank Broyles Award.
Okay.
Football Scoop named him the running backs coach of the year in 2017.
Sure.
I'm looking to see where he's been before that.
By the way, Cal is getting 6 points against USC this weekend. If you're curious, that's the late game that we'll probably have on a little bit on Saturday night. USC and Cal not starting until 10 o'clock our time.
Oh, yeah, about the time we hit the button.
Yeah, on Saturday night.
He's been at Furman. He's been at South Carolina State. So he's been in South Carolina his entire career.
You said you're hearing that or people are just hearing that?
I've heard it, and I've heard other people have heard it.
Okay.
I don't know what Chad Morris will do. He can count money for a little while.
What's he getting?
10.2.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He can take a year.
10.2. The question is he getting it from Arkansas or getting it from Auburn?
It's a take a year, and then you're a coordinator again, right? Hard to see you going back to a head coach right now after SMU and Arkansas and the way that's worked.
4-18.
Again, it's not even about the league play. It's that you're losing to Western Kentucky and San Jose State.
San Jose State.
Because you can't argue, oh, well, we're coming. No, I mean, no, you suck.
Well, and when you lose the fans so early, and I was in Fayetteville that weekend. I was up there for that Kyo thing with Campbell, and I dropped her off at her dorm, which is walking distance from
You could see it the out stadium. The window.
Well, you could hear the people. They were leaving at halftime of a San Jose State game on a fairly pleasant Saturday night in Fayetteville, and they were fit to be tied.
Yeah. We'll take our last break here on the show for the day and tell you about Visit Oxford. VisitOxfordMS.com is the website. Bookmark it. Find out everything going on in town this week and every week, and start the perfect type of holiday getaway in Oxford. Has plenty of exciting events for family and friends this holiday season, including the Christmas parade, holiday house tours, and more. Spend your days and enjoy the festive activities of the season, including the holiday concert by the Midtown Men, the downtown Christmas tree lighting, and the holiday ornament auction, all happening this December. You got an elf scavenger hunt. You can visit with Santa and visit Oxford Holiday Village and more in December in Oxford like no other. Pop up OxfordMS.com or, again, visit OxfordMS.com.
We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. My 10 thoughts are up at RebelGrove.com. You should subscribe. They're it's right there at rebelgrove.com. It's part of the Rivals Network, big community, lots of people fighting with each other on message boards, and we cover basketball. There's women's basketball stuff up on the site. Chase has a story on Keyshawn Wells up on the site. There's a lot for you there. It's just $9 and something cents a month. So subscribe. Be a great Christmas gift for your friends and family, enemies, everyone. rebelgrove.com. Anyway, Harry Alexander sponsors those 10 Weekend Thoughts. He is a big part of Savannah Square, Oxford. He's also a RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. If you're coming up this weekend, you're thinking about moving to Oxford, think about retiring to Oxford, you should check out Savannah Square. It's located 0.7 mile from the Oxford downtown square, just east of North Lamar, just a short stroll from the Midtown Shopping Center. Multiple homes in there in different stages of development. Get in touch with Harry, 662-801-5621. He'll show them to you. He'll show you the model home at 215 William Street as well. Wonderful layouts, impeccable finishes that you can inspect. SavannahSquareOxford.com. And we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all with a personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. There's no 10 buttons to push, no 5-minute wait. That's what I was looking for. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account, and it's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Join the women's hoops team back in action on Craddock Court Friday at 3 p.m. as they take on New Orleans. Tickets can be purchased by visiting OleMissTix.com. The Ole Miss volleyball team returns to the Gillum Center on Friday as they take on the Georgia Bulldogs at 6:30. Admission is free. More information can be found at OleMissSports.com. The 2019 Men's Hoops Rebel Flex Pass is on sale now. For just $199, receive a ticket to every home game this season with varying seat locations from game to game. This will allow you to experience the pavilion at Ole Miss from all angles. Visit OleMissTix.com. Get your Rebel Flex Pass for just $199. The Ole Miss Men's Hoops team back inside the pavilion on Friday at 6 as they host Western Michigan as part of the preseason NIT tip-off. Tickets start at just $10, can be purchased at OleMissTix.com. And, of course, the Ole Miss football team concludes the home season on Saturday as they host number one ranked LSU at 6 p.m. Tickets still remain, can be purchased at OleMissTix.com.
So a lot of Matthew Morrell stuff on the site from the weekend, including, I'm not sleepy, I feel pretty good today, but I slept good last night. A lot of Matthew Morrell stuff, including Neil with a column on what it means for the program. Zach had a story as well. There's a soft verbal up with about half an hour of Matt Morrell things in it.
Yeah.
It's huge. Bottom line, it's the first one. You always got to get the first one to get the second one. It is easier to get that now. We'll see what it leads to. But Neil said on Saturday night, I think he wrote it as well, thought Saturday was a bigger day for the program than making the NCAA tournament last year.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest day. I put that tweet out. Kermit Davis hit the like button on that tweet. That might have just been him liking the article, or it might have been him saying, you're right. Certainly for the program moving forward, that was huge. Listen, I mean, I wrote about it. Other people have written about it. I wasn't going to write about it. I was going to kind of keep it cool, but other people started writing about it. I don't know what's going to happen with Jamin Brakefield in the next 48 hours. Maybe nothing. Maybe he signs with Duke.
Are you still at a 2 or a 3 on a 1 to 10 on how strong that is?
Oh, it's a 3 to a 5 on how strong it is.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. Let me clear this up on Corral, because what we reported on Saturday got badly misrepresented, which is what happens. We're not saying he's definitely leaving. Those words were not put in there. I also did not say that he's reached out to anyone. But let's not be naive and pretend that nothing happens until you go into the portal. Usually, when a quarterback goes into the portal, he knows where he's going. For example, when Ben Hicks went into the portal, he knew he was going to Arkansas. Kelly Bryant went into the portal knowing that there will be no shortage of opportunities. Missouri, Auburn, Arkansas, there was a bunch. Matt Corral, if he goes into the portal, will go into the portal knowing that there are several opportunities for him. And there's one specifically that you and I have both heard about. Does that mean that Matt Corral has talked to those coaches? No. But there's been contact. Might be very subtle, but there's been contact. Us reporting that doesn't make us bad guys, in my opinion. Feel free to disagree. It's difficult for me to believe, difficult for anyone rationally to believe that Matt Corral's happy right now with the way the situation's played out. Matt Luke was asked about this after the game Saturday, and he gave very coach speaky answers about how it's still a two-quarterback system, how they're going to need Matt Corral in these last two games. They played New Mexico State on Saturday, had the game easily in hand the entire way, and Matt Corral only entered the game late in the third quarter, presumably because Plumlee tweaked an ankle or something on one of his long runs.
They gave five quarterback snaps. Sellers Shaw played, Grant Restmeyer played, and Kincaid Dent played.
Yeah. And that's cool. Let those guys go out and get a snap.
That's not the point. That's cool. Whatever.
But Corral was not playing. There was no two-quarterback system on Saturday. Corral didn't play in the whole second half against Auburn.
So the words of, hey, we're going to need him these next 2 weeks. It's
coach
like,
speak.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you might need him because the way you're running your quarterback, he's going to get hurt.
It was Rodriguez that said it's still a two-quarterback system.
Yeah, he said we have two starting quarterbacks. Come on, man. If you're playing two quarterbacks as two starting quarterbacks, one doesn't go more than one game without playing unless he's hurt. And he didn't play the second half of the Auburn game or the first half of the freaking New Mexico State game and only came in late in the third quarter because somebody got hurt. Matt Corral threw two passes. Two. He threw two passes. If you're Matt Corral, are you staying if everything stays the same?
No, because there's no sign that I have a chance to play, barring injury. I mean, I think that's fair.
Yeah, again, it's more than fair.
They don't run the same system.
If you're Matt Corral and there's no change, you're leaving. Matt wants to play. He doesn't want to sit behind John Rhys Plumlee in a run-oriented offense. That's not what he signed up for. He's being a good soldier right now. He's saying all the right things, doing all the right things. He's being a good teammate because guess what? Matt Corral's a good kid.
Yeah.
There's a real disconnect, and maybe it's because we're not asking it right. But it's a video that Ole Miss marketed. This is an Ole Miss thing. Ole Miss marketed Matt Corral as early as the days immediately after the Egg Bowl last year. They showed that video of Matt Luke.
Matt hugged him on the field and basically said, this is your team.
Consoling an angry, emotional Matt Corral.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, this is your program now or your team now or whatever. It's your time now. Ole Miss took Matt Corral to media days. We applauded the move at the time because if you had asked me, hey, as a sports information guy, if you'd said, well, who should we take? Well, you should take the guy that people are going to write about, which is Corral.
Yeah.
But if there had been any hesitation on their part about whether he was their quarterback, they would not have taken him to Hoover for 900 media members to do stories on. I'd love to know, where did it change? If Matt Corral had not gotten hurt against Cal, would he have quarterbacked against Alabama?
Yeah.
If Matt Corral had quarterbacked against Alabama, would he have quarterbacked against Vanderbilt?
I saw no signs of a swap.
I'd love to know what happened.
And I think it's as easy as he got hurt. It's my guess.
I don't know how to ask it. But the answer to have you given up on Matt Corral is no, of course not. No, he's our quarterback. He's one of our two quarterbacks. Well, he doesn't play. Well, we were just running the ball. The run was working. What do you tell recruits? He gives us the best chance to win now. Yeah, I get that. I feel like I'm being antagonistic. I'm not trying to be. I find it to be a frustrating story because we can't really get into it yet. I don't know why. No one will answer the question. He gives us the best chance to win right now. Yeah, but you're not winning right now. You said this was a development year, and I agreed. Do you think this system, here's the question. Do you think the system that you're running today can beat the upper crust teams in the SEC? Let's define that. Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Florida.
Georgia, Florida.
Georgia. Texas A&M, if you want to extend it.
Yeah.
Do you think this offense, the way it is conceived today, can consistently beat the top six teams in the SEC?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is yes, then okay, yeah. Roll with it. But if the answer is no, then the follow-up is, what the hell are you doing? Unless Cole Kubelik is right,
yeah.
And I'm not saying he's not, and we're not seeing something. No, listen, I'm not hinting at anything. I don't do the hint. I don't have any idea what Rich Rodriguez's plans are. I know that he's under contract for next season. Is he under contract for two more seasons or one more?
Two more seasons.
Two more seasons. He's not going to walk away into the unemployment line. I can't imagine that Rich Rodriguez is getting a Power 5 head coaching job right now. Maybe he'll leave for a Group of 5 job. Maybe he just wants to coach bad enough that he'll go take some MAC job or some Mountain West job. I don't know. As of this moment, my anticipation is he's the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss next season. He talked last Monday like a guy who intended to stay.
Philip Shue makes a good point. Just from an individual standpoint, the guy that came out like roses is Dawson Knox. Had he come back and played in this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's starting tight end for the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things. I mean, again, Cole's right. Maybe he's developing and maybe it's whatever. I don't know. Not saying he is or isn't. I think a lot of it's lack of leadership all the way up. Matt had no idea what his security was throughout the season. Might now, didn't it, for a lot of the time.
Agreed.
Doesn't know whether you got to win now or not. You don't have any idea what you actually have to do to stay employed.
It's a great point.
And that puts you in a weird spot of, hey, if Plumlee's the guy that can beat A&M and beat Vanderbilt and beat Arkansas or what, I know what somebody else did, not the point. But then you go, okay, we'll do that because I don't know what I have to do. Because there's no chancellor. There's an interim athletics director. I don't know how much money the donors are willing to put in to get rid of me. I have no clue.
Yeah, in some ways he answered it when he said he gives us the best chance to win right now.
Yeah, well.
But you're not winning. They've beaten four teams. If you're going to make it about wins and losses, they've beaten four teams. Southeast Louisiana, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and New Mexico State. Matt Corral would have won those four games too. Matt Corral would have won those four games too.
Your one argument from a game-changing situation is would Plumlee have beaten Memphis?
And I don't know.
And it's really unfair to Plumlee too because, again, the guy wasn't here for spring practice and you're not going to start him in the opener. That's a different deal. Right.
It's unfair to either of them.
Yeah, but that would be the one game where I go, okay, you scored 13 points. Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Probably could run away from Memphis a little bit.
Yeah, may could have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
but let the record show that they didn't play him that day.
Yeah, at all.
They could have.
Had a package, I was told.
Just didn't do it.
Yeah. So.
It's the whole thing. It doesn't.
There's so many logical little errors in the steps.
Yeah, it just, there's something about it that feels off.
Yeah.
And I can't put my finger on it. And then when you try to kind of get into it, people get real defensive over there. But the whole, are you concerned that that Matt will leave is a question that, is it unfair to ask that today, for example? I don't know. I mean, you're not going to get a truthful answer.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is obviously, yeah, sure. I'm assuming. I think the answer would be, well, you know, Matt's not said anything to us about that. Although if you're Matt Corral at some point, you've got to get, because frankly, if I'm Matt Corral and I've got a decision to make and I've got to make it here in the next month, I got to think about next weekend when an open date, I got to think about taking an official visit somewhere. If I'm thinking about going to a particular Pac-12 school and this is my opportunity to visit that school, I need to go. Although there are two weekends in December that he could go.
Yeah. We'll see. Matt Luke, Rich Rodriguez, Mike McIntyre talking at 11 o'clock today. If you want to feel good about something Ole Miss football, I've got a long profile on Kayshawn Wells up on the site. Walk-on earned scholarship on Halloween. All you guys saw the video. I'll tell you what happened before and after that. Just a really good dude who's been through a lot. Got cut from two different community colleges, including Cahoma. Delivered food at night to try to afford to continue to play football, and has been awarded with a scholarship. So that's up at rebelgrove.com. If you so wish, we mentioned all the Matthew Morrell stuff. I'll talk about him a little more tomorrow. Win some NFL tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have Cole on at some point this week as well. But for today, appreciate all the people hanging out with us on the live chat. We will be back tomorrow with that. And we'll talk to you again soon. Have a good day.